This is State Street, and today we're talking with candidate Ben McAdams. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Hugh Ricard Bell.
We're sitting down with all four Democratic candidates in Utah's 1st Congressional District.
That's the one that was created by redistricting and now leans Democratic.
Wait. Democratic in Utah?
That's right, in Utah. And let me tell you, it is a stacked primary.
We asked each candidate the same 6 questions, so you can hear where they stand on some of the issues you care about. And just to note, these interviews have been edited for length and clarity.
And we're releasing these in alphabetical order by candidate last name. So, here's Ben McAdams.
Ben McAdams. He's been a mainstay of Democratic politics in Utah for years. He's a lawyer by trade and has been a policy advisor at Salt Lake City Hall, a state senator, mayor of Salt Lake County, and is the last Utah Democrat to serve in Congress when he represented the old 4th District from 2019 to 2021.
Now, we took turns interviewing the candidates, and Sean spoke with Ben McAdams.
Ben McAdams, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sean. Great to be with you.
So a lot of eyes in Utah are on this race right now. What are you bringing to Congress that is different than what we're seeing right now?
I have a track record of getting things done. You know, I'm somebody who looks at the toughest issues that are facing our community, and I take them head on, build coalitions, and get it done. I also am somebody who will stand up to corruption and tear down corrupt systems. So, you know, I'd point to a few things. When I was in the state Senate, I led the charge to advance LGBTQ equality. We got the non-discrimination protections passed in Utah, in one of the most conservative states in the country. When I was mayor, I tackled an opioid crisis and homelessness and crime on the streets. You know, when I was in Congress, I brought this ability to build coalitions and to tackle some of our toughest issues. And then I think the defining vote of my term in Congress was when the House was presented with articles of impeachment on Donald Trump. And I looked at the evidence. I took that serious. I knew that, you know, I represented a district that liked him, that had voted for him. And when I looked at what he had done, I came to the conclusion that it warranted impeachment, that he had violated his oath of office and deserved to be removed from office. So I voted to impeach Donald Trump, knowing it would probably cost me my reelection. So I hope that voters will see me and see my track record as somebody who has a long list of accomplishments of getting things done, of building coalitions to tackle our toughest problems. But I'm also somebody who stands up to corruption with courage and without hesitation to do what's right.
And this is a Democratic primary, but within the party, we have a wide range of views. Some may consider more center-left. Some may consider incredibly progressive. How do you describe your politics?
You know, my politics are what I would define as pragmatic. I think that there are people who are counting on us to solve the issues that we're facing. That people are seeing, you know, high gas prices, high cost of housing. The Great Salt Lake is an existential question for us. And are we going to send somebody to Congress who is going to tweet and say the right things? Everybody in this race is going to say the right things. I believe that we need to send somebody to Congress who has proven an ability to get things done. You know, we seem to fall into this, I think, false notion that if you are passionate about an issue, you will light your hair on fire and burn everything to the ground. Well, I come from a belief that if you care deeply about an issue, you will work with anybody, even people you disagree with, to get it done.
If you win and go to Congress, you will very likely be the only Democrat in the Utah delegation, a position you had been in the past. How are you going to work with your fellow Utah representatives in Washington, whether it's fellow House members or Senators Lee and Curtis?
Look, I'll do what I've always done, and that is I will build coalitions and find common ground. But I'm never going to be afraid to stand my ground. And I think, you know, the Great Salt Lake's a good issue that is going to be bipartisan. This is about the air we breathe. And our lungs don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. So I'll work with our delegation to move the needle on that. The leadership people will see from me is someone who builds coalition to move the needle on housing and affordability and air quality in the Great Salt Lake, but also somebody who will be proud to stand my ground when I think that our delegation's out of sync, which they often are.
Let's talk about AI for a moment. How do you want to shape policy around this very fast-growing technology?
I would start by saying if we could put the genie back in the bottle, I would do that. The reality is AI is transforming society in some good ways and many bad ways, right? we need to have a federal approach to AI, that we are protecting people's data privacy, that as we see disruptions coming to the economy, that we are proactively thinking about how to help regular working people land on their feet. We see oligarchs that are profiting from the system at the expense of everybody else, and that can't be the case. We have to see that this transformative technology is lifting everyday Utahns, and we need to have standards in place that protect our air quality, protect the Great Salt Lake. These data centers are not a burden on the communities where they're located. We've made the wrong call in Box Elder. Hopefully there's an opportunity to revisit that and push back. But stepping more out and looking more broadly, I don't categorically oppose data centers in, under any scenario. I think there's a way that they can be done that minimizes water use, that is powered by clean and renewable energy. And then looking more broadly at AI, I think this is a transformative technology. It's going to cure diseases, prolong human life, enhance quality of life. But we have to be at the forefront of making sure that's done responsibly and that it lifts everybody, not just enriches a few.
Utah is facing many environmental challenges right now. We're in a drought. Water is scarce. Air quality can be very poor. What are some of your priorities when it comes to environmental policy?
First of all, addressing climate change, and it starts locally, right? So we're seeing the impacts of both climate change that is impacting the Great Salt Lake, but we're also seeing just growth and how growth is affecting the Great Salt Lake. So we are in a drought, and certainly that is climate-induced. But it's also those challenges go to how we use our land, right? So addressing climate change is difficult. There's not an easy solution to do that. And that's why I think, again, it's going to take somebody who knows how to build coalitions and tackle some of our toughest problems. When you get to climate change, whether it's water, reducing pollutions, transitioning to a clean energy economy, Utah can be a hub for geothermal energy. I'm following very closely what's happening in the Delta area with geothermal energy. We can be a place that is generating clean energy through solar and wind power. And I think Utah has the opportunity to lead out on that and to showcase how we can be at the forefront of reducing carbon emissions and doing our part to make sure that we mitigate the impacts of climate change.
I want to turn to the economy. Housing costs are high. Fuel is up. Everything seems expensive when you go out to shop. What is the first thing you would do to address cost of living here in Utah?
Well, I think the first thing we can do is to stop these tariffs that are driving up the cost of food, driving up the cost of construction, the cost of housing. In some ways, certainly inflation is complicated, but in some ways it's not. You know, in some ways it's just stopping Donald Trump being a check on his power. This reckless war in Iran that was ill-conceived, launching us into potentially an endless war without any pathway for, you know, goals or objectives on what would be constitute success. And what we've seen is that has just driven up the cost of energy for everybody and with really no end in sight. So I think stepping up to be a check and accountability on the powers of this president, you know, over the last 5 years since I've been out of public office, I've been doing a lot of work on housing and housing affordability. And I work with cities and counties and states across the country to help them develop policies to bring down the cost of housing in their communities. And so I'll be coming into Congress with ideas and concepts and proposals. That's not going to be something that we fix overnight by ending a war or ending a tariff. We've got more systemic challenges with housing. But it's something that I have a lot of expertise and knowledge in working on. I'd love to jump back in and to bring some of those ideas that I've had and developed over the last 5 years into enacting solutions.
Ben McAdams, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That does it for this episode of State Street. I'm Hugo Ricard-Bell.
And I'm Sean Higgins. We've got Nate Bluen and Michael Farrell ready for your ears wherever you get your podcasts. And keep your eyes peeled for our last conversation with Liban Mohammed. Primary day is June 23rd.
Now, Utah Democrats hold an open primary, which means anyone in the district can vote in it. But only registered Democrats will automatically get that ballot.
So that means if you aren't a registered Democrat and want to participate in this election, you need to request a ballot from the Salt Lake County Clerk by June 16th.
State Street only happens because of our team. Jim Hill does all things digital, and Alexis Rausch did our artwork.
David Childs does our audio production, and KUER News Director Elaine Clark helps edit.
Caroline Ballard is our executive producer.
See you next time.
From KUER.